the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That we are, and we're here, ready to go. Great, fantastic. Can't believe another hour is getting started, but it is. The second hour of Bucket Strategy Investing gets underway. It's time to get things moving. Our Professor Rick Plum joins me, Johnny Dean, here in studio. We're talking about what's important to you. That's what we do here. We're standing by, helping you out with your most pressing money questions. We do have a lot of things to talk about this hour, and we'll be taking your phone calls as usual. In fact, we'll be doing that first. So, a couple of folks on hold. We'll get to them right away within about a minute. But of course, that means that you need to take part in the show as well. Our number here in studio, 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. We do take phone calls first, so you get your money questions ready and give us a call. As for those emails, you send them to us here, your questions and your comments, at our website, wealthad.com, at the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. Type it in and send it to us here in the studio. Brain Trust is here standing by, and we can do so. We can answer your questions, whatever it is, both on and off the air. You should keep in mind that the advisors at Lucia Capital Group can help you out with your own individual situation. If you want a personalized bucket strategy, any kind of plan, you can talk to the Brain Trust, get in touch with the professor or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. They'll set you up with your own bucket strategy. They do have an entire network of Brain Trust advisors all the way across the country. They're ready to help you out. Again, the off-air number, 800-644-1150. Our number on the air, write this down, take note, because we're taking calls right now, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. We'll start the hour off with Chris in Atlanta. Hello, Chris. How can we help you today?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
You're taking the call.
Sure.
I think I heard just enough to make me think that you shot down my retirement dreams.
Oh, man.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
I was working as a teacher for about 12 years, and so I'm 61 now, and I got the teacher's retirement at 60, and I was planning on getting my Social Security added to that when I become 62, but it sounds as if that might not happen.
Well, but not all teachers are under the same problem with the caller that we had last hour. When you were a teacher, were you paying FICA, paying into the Social Security system?
No.
Okay, then we're going to have a problem. So your Social Security benefit is projected at 62 or 66 to be what amount of money?
About $750 bucks.
Okay, it will be reduced. You will not receive all of it. You'll receive a good chunk of it, but you'll receive a little less than half of it. You're going to be subject.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've heard that one before. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're subject to something called the windfall elimination provision. When you have a pension from work not covered by Social Security, your teaching work was not paying into Social Security, and you have a pension from that employment. When you have a pension from that type of situation, and you also have worked outside of that employment and earned enough credits, 40 credits, to get your own mm-hmm. Social Security benefit, they're going to look at it and say, this is the Social Security talking, not me. You don't
right.
deserve that much money. You've got this wonderful pension, and Social Security is supposed to be, you know, skewed in for the lower wage earner, and it's not fair. I'm being sarcastic, okay?
You're being truthful.
Well, yeah, both, unfortunately.
It's not fair that you have a $750 month pension, but you did that over 10 or 12 years, and you were making a reasonable wage, where somebody who worked for 40 years and only earned $15,000, $20,000 a year has the same benefit that you do. So we're going to reduce your benefit a little bit. And so we're going to go from $750 down to about $320. They calculate your benefit under a different formula that reduces it so that you don't get quite as much. You don't get, because Social Security, the way they calculate the benefit, you get a very large percentage, 90%, of the first 800 some dollars of your average wages. But if you have this other pension, they're only going to give you 40% of that number. So it reduces it quite substantially because it is heavily weighted towards the lower wage earner. In their mind, you weren't a lower wage earner.
This should motivate everybody to get their legislators to start advocating to have your own, your own control over your own money,
right,
and put it into a, you know, your own account. That just stinks. That just stinks to high heaven.
Yeah, you can look it up. Unfortunately, it's called the Windfall Elimination Provision. Now, Chris, are you married?
Yep.
Does your wife have
does she
have a Social Security benefit, or is she a teacher as well?
No, she'll have a Social Security benefit, but she's younger. So I was just thinking between my pension and Social Security and the income rental property, and then I thought, well, I'll be all right. But
it's going to be about $350 short or less, about maybe $400 less.
Yeah, you still get a benefit, Chris. But in fact, and there are some people who are going through the government pension offset that lose the whole thing. So at least you're not losing the whole thing in that regard.
Your pension is more than $700-$800 a month, right?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because you're going to be fully impacted by the windfall elimination provision.
Okay, it's better to be now. I know what you're doing. Now I'm going to recalibrate for retirement with Social Security.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Chris, I wish we had better news for you. And write your legislators and tell them you hate it. It's a stupid thing, and we'll see if you get anywhere. And if you do, let us know.
Now, I don't want to scare every teacher across the United States, because not every state has this problem with their teachers. There's, I think, 11 or 13, I can't remember the number of states, where the teachers in that state do not pay into Social Security. So if you're in the majority of the states across the United States, it's not an issue, because the teachers do pay into Social Security. And as long as you're paying into Social Security at the same time you're earning the pension, no issue. You get both. Yeah. It's only when you earn a pension and you don't pay into Social Security and then have another employment situation where you pay into Social Security that you have issues.
Yeah, and that was Chris's case right there. I'm glad he called. It's a few $100 a month. He's got a little bit of time, I think, to maybe make that adjustment. But that's an
unfortunate
reality.
It's better to
go
into it now knowing he's got a year or two or three before he was planning
on
turning it off.
Yes, and to find out right when you get your benefit, hey, I'm missing, $3,000-$4,000 a year. Okay, Joanne is up next with a question. Joanne, thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 66. I retired at 62. I'm disabled. Just had two hip replacements, knee replacement. I'm a widow. My husband passed 7 years ago, so I retired off of his Social Security. Now, he was a veteran. We was married for 32 years, and right about 5 years before he passed away, he divorced me. We got a divorce. So when I went to VA, VA told me I was not eligible for any of his benefits because we was not still married. But I was married to him for 32 years. I also understand that he has a pension from Lockheed Aircraft, where he worked for a number of years. And he also worked for MARTA Traffic Station for a number of years. He had a very good job. My income that I get from Social Security is right at $1,284. So my question is, how can I get these benefits that I feel that is due to me? And they also told me I could not receive disability because I was already receiving Social Security.
Correct. And do you know what your
disability... That was a lot, wasn't it?
Well, no, that's all right. It's okay. Speaking just purely on the disability side, the Social Security disability is what you're saying they weren't going to give you. Do you know how much that amount would have been if they would have given it to you?
$287.
Okay, so your Social Security benefit is very low.
No, I said from disability, that's what it would have been, but my regular Social Security is $1,287 per month.
Well, $1,287 is just $3 more than what you were already receiving, and since you just turned...
Well, I wasn't receiving anything. I just retired. When I retired at 62, I initially retired off of his Social Security from the beginning.
Right, and his Social Security was $1,287, or is.
That's correct.
And so
yes,
it was higher
correct.
Than your disability benefit. Your disability benefit was lower than the widow's benefit. So they gave you the widow's benefit. Now what you can do, what you can do is wait 4 more years, and your Social Security benefit will become larger, and it'll turn into $1,500-$1,600 a month when you turn 70. So you've got a little bit of money coming to you at 70. As far as the VA, I don't know the eligibility on VA, so I would have to look into that. As far as the pensions are something that are negotiated in a divorce decree. And when somebody gets divorced, if they've been married for a long time, they can say, look, you've been earning this pension all these years. I should be able to get part of that pension, but it's all part of the divorce decree. If you don't get it set to you in the divorce decree, you're not going to get any of it. So now the only thing would be to go back to the, you know, get a divorce attorney and go back and say, hey, I didn't even know these benefits existed. I was basically taken advantage of. I deserve some of this pension. And you probably can win that one, because unless you took a swap of something else that in lieu of taking the pension. So, yeah, you probably need to talk to your divorce attorney and say, we need to reopen this case because I was married for almost the entire time, or the entire time he was earning that pension through the marriage. I should have been entitled to something of that. So you may be able to, but you're going to have to fight for it.
Great. Well, you told me some very good information. I really appreciate that.
Well, good. Hey, Joanne, I got to take a break. If you have some more questions, feel free to hold on, and we can talk to you more about them when we come back. I'm glad we asked that, answered that question. I'm glad you asked it, too. It's something else that, you know, happens from time to time. All right, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. We got more to talk about. Whatever's on your mind, Social Security or otherwise, you give us a call. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. We're coming right back. Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, taking your phone calls, 877-PLANNER. We've had a couple of really good calls this hour so far. And if you have any questions on any of the stuff that we talk about, and sometimes the conversation, you know, sort of slants in one direction or another. It doesn't have to be on the Social Security windfall elimination provision topics we were talking about, although it is a big thing for many people. In fact, this came out of the discussion in a previous hour about having marriages or prior marriages, exes,
widows,
and that kind of thing, and how Social Security, how people's Social Security is affected by that, and different types of strategies that you can employ. And one of the things that I had said, you really said it, Professor Plum, was that if you're a widow, let's say we'll call you a widow, and you're thinking about getting married again, but your
timing is everything.
It's true, because if you're in your late 50s and you say, I'd really like to get married, it might behoove you to wait until after age 60, or at least until if you find out whether you are eligible to take survivor benefits from Social Security. And if you are eligible to take survivor benefits from Social Security, you would want to wait until after you turn age 60, and until after you start receiving those benefits, the survivor benefits. Because if you do wait and then you get married, the marriage will not eliminate those survivor benefits. Just
a little bit of extra money coming in.
It is. So just for those of you who are thinking about getting remarried, you may want to wait until after age 60. Now, spousal benefits are a little bit of a different case. Now, if you have questions on any of that stuff, that's what we were talking about before. Creates a lot of concern on the part of many people.
Right, and it does take people by surprise that they don't get something they thought they were entitled to. Now, just like Chris from Atlanta, he's not going to get as much benefit as he was potentially figuring he was entitled to.
Yes, he heard our discussion.
Not real happy about it. Unfortunately, I gave him the correct answer, not the answer he wanted to hear.
No, but it had to do with the windfall elimination provision, which, again, if you had a job where you did not pay into Social Security,
and you earned a pension from that job,
and you earned a pension from that job, and you received that pension, once you start receiving that pension, your Social Security benefits, assuming you're eligible to collect Social Security, those benefits will be reduced by some factor, depending on how big the pension is and how big your Social Security benefit would have been.
Right, and just taking a lump sum instead of the monthly payment doesn't get you out of it.
The lump sum of the pension.
Right.
Yes, because, well, how does that work then? I mean, do they say what you would have gotten is a monthly payment or what?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes, they do. So it does have.
So even if you take a $30,000 buyout or whatever it is,
and you no longer receive the monthly payment, so you're technically, in your mind,
not receiving a pension. Yes.
But you've got money sitting in an IRA. They don't care how much at that point. You have money sitting in an IRA, so they're going to look at what it would have been on a monthly benefit to determine how much the windfall elimination and or the government pension offset will sting you.
Exactly.
And it will sting you.
That it will. Okay, we got more to talk about on this. 877-PLANNER. Once again, any money question that you have, we all of a sudden got a bunch of lines open. So call now if you've been trying to get in. You can get in right now, 877-752-6637. We will talk to you about any money issue that you might have. Let's move along to Tarpon Springs, Florida, and we'll talk with Don. Hi, Don.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have a question, a tax question, about my wife and I filing separately, married, filing separately, how that affects the contribution to IRAs.
Well, it makes you less likely that you'll be able to deduct the contribution, assuming you have a retirement plan at your employment. Now, I'm assuming...
Well, I don't, but my wife does.
Okay, so you don't have any retirement plan at work?
I don't, no.
Your wife does?
Yes.
So basically, it means that you cannot deduct. I mean, assuming that your adjusted gross income is more than $10,000, you can't deduct the contribution to a traditional IRA.
Really? $10,000?
Yeah, it's okay. Unlike where a married couple filing a joint return, the non-covered spouse, as long as the income is under $183,000, it's phased out from $183,000 to $193,000. It's a $10,000 phase out on the ability to deduct the contribution. But for the spouse that's not in a retirement plan, as long as the AGI is under $183,000, they can make a deductible contribution. When we have a married filing separate situation, they drop everything. I mean, they slam everything down 0 to 10. When you ultimately retire and you start receiving your Social Security, the threshold on taxation for Social Security starts at $32,000 of modified adjusted gross income. For a married filing a separate return, it starts at zero. So you're phased into taxation on your Social Security very quickly on a separate return. So in many cases, filing separately doesn't necessarily help you from an income tax standpoint. It does in some cases. But most people do it to separate the spouses from liability, from tax liability situations where they have a spouse that they think may be doing something in their business that they don't want to be part of. And so they try to separate themselves from, you know, basically being levied later on. And so there are some reasons to file separately when you're married.
Well, the reason that we were thinking of it is that my wife had a lot of medical bills.
Yeah.
Right, and so it allows... It may allow you to have more deductions, but I would still have my tax preparer run it both ways. Married,
right.
Filing jointly, and see what the tax liability is. Married, filing separately, and see what the combined tax liability is, and do whichever one works the best. But there are issues in some areas that does affect. Now, if she's going to itemize her deductions, that means that you also must itemize your deductions, even if they're not enough to exceed the standard deduction.
Oh, really?
Right. They're not going to let one person itemize filing separately and the other one use a standard deduction, because what happens then is somebody's got, you know, married couple has a standard deduction of $12,600. And so you've got, you know, between the two of you, you have $13,000 of itemized deductions. Well, the reality is you're only getting a benefit of about $400 of that because you could have written off $12,600 anyway. So the idea is to stop you from filing separately, where one of them takes all $13,000, reduces $13,000. The other one takes the $6,300 that's a single filer can do. And in that respect, you got a much bigger deduction.
Right.
So we complain about Congress being a bunch of morons, at least I do.
They are.
And they really are. But when it comes to separating you from your dollars, they're pretty good.
Yeah, but they don't like you to save.
Well, they figure they're taken care of just fine. So as long as they're taken care of and have plenty of money to retire on, why should you, Don?
Yeah.
That's right.
Can't you just create money out of thin air like they can?
Sure, of course you can. Oh, wait, no, you have to work for it.
One last question on that IRA. Does that apply, the same thing apply to Roth IRAs?
I think so, actually.
I think you're right.
Talk for a minute.
we'll tell you what, we're up against a break here. Or do you have it right there?
Yep, Roth contribution limits is $10,000 for a married filing a separate return. 0 to 10 phase out. I thought it was, I just wanted to check for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
We're basically screwed, that's what it is.
Yeah.
in so many words, Don.
Now, he could do a non-deductible IRA and convert it to a Roth IRA.
That's one way to go.
He could do a two-step Roth or a backdoor Roth.
Well, Don, I tell you what, I got to take a break, but if you want to pursue any of these avenues that Professor Plum has just mentioned here, you're more than welcome to hang on, and we can talk to you more about it after the break. It's entirely up to you. Phone lines are open, 877-PLANNER. We're always coming up with ideas here, all right? We're all about strategy, and we'll strategize with you. You just give us a call, 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Bucket Strategy Investing. Why?
What did we do to deserve this?
We did not do anything to deserve being Rickrolled on our own show.
And Don definitely didn't deserve
this. No, he didn't. But I'll tell you what, we are nothing if not resourceful on this program, and we are all about strategy. And we've got a strategy for you.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay, well, I didn't want Don to go away until we had actually fully explored everything. Because Don, are you still with us?
I am.
Okay, thanks for hanging on. Now you had thought maybe you were kind of, you said in your words that basically you're screwed. I don't know that that's
his
necessarily
words.
The case. That's what I'm saying.
Now, there is something that we've used for a lot of people called the backdoor Roth, when their income levels are over the threshold for contributing directly to a Roth IRA. Now, usually we're talking to a married couple that has more than $183,000, but for your case, if you've got more than $10,000, you may be able to utilize the backdoor Roth contributions, you know, the two-step. First question, though, is do you have IRAs?
Yes.
Oh, darn. That makes it much more difficult.
But is there a way to work around this?
Not really. I mean, because any he can make a non-deductible contribution to an IRA right now because he's over the 10,000 modified adjusted gross income limit. So he's not allowed to deduct a limit. Now, you are working?
Yes.
You can contribute, but it's an after-tax contribution. The problem is when you have other IRAs, you can't just convert the after-tax money. We have to look at a pro rata portion of after-tax versus pre-tax.
Can he roll his IRAs into a 401k?
He doesn't have one.
Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry.
My wife does, but I don't.
Right, and so he doesn't have one.
Okay.
So that's why.
Sorry, I missed.
So she may be able to do what we're talking about. She may, if she's working, she may be able to contribute to an after-tax IRA. She could take all the pre-tax money that's in her IRAs that she has and move it into her 401k, thereby not having any pre-tax money in any IRA in her name, and then she could contribute the $6,500. Although you said she was younger, as long as she's 50 or older, she could contribute the $6,500 to a non-deductible traditional IRA. And because that's the only money in any of her IRAs, when she converts it, because there's no limit on conversions, when she converts it to a Roth IRA, it's all after-tax money. You can't do that because you've got these other IRAs that you can't make disappear. Unless you wanted to convert the whole thing and pay tax on the whole thing, you're not going to be able to do the backdoor Roth. She can.
Yeah, how much is in your IRA, Don?
I've got $80,000 in there.
Yeah. $80,000, yeah.
It would be fairly taxing to move that over in a lump sum.
Right.
So we need to find a job that has a 401k that you can contribute to and then roll this money in, and then you can start doing lots of contributions.
Yeah, right. Well, this company's cheap. They don't have one, so.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, Don, I you know what? When Professor said possibility of the Roth two-step, I was getting all excited. I thought maybe we could get something for you there, but possibility for your wife, but not necessarily for you right now.
But
all right.
One of them
okay,
has the possibility.
Okay. Well, Don, thank you for hanging on. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate it out here when we get the information from you guys.
That's good. Thanks. Thanks for that. It's nice to hear that. If you have any other questions, hold on. What you were trying to do was figure out a way for Don to get money into a Roth IRA.
Right.
His problem right now is he wants to file married
separately.
Filing separately. And he's doing it because, in this case, his wife, had some
medical expenses.
And that's one of the ways that married filing separately could possibly help.
When you have medical expenses and you want to itemize and be able to deduct those medical expenses, only medical expenses that exceed 10% of your adjusted gross income can be used as a deductible expense on your itemized deduction page. And so if you're 65 and older, the threshold's still only 7.5%. But still, a big chunk of your medical expenses are based on how much your adjusted gross income. So if they're compiling both incomes onto a joint return, he may be making a lot of money, which means that he's not able to deduct very much, if any, of the medical expenses. But if he splits his income off and they only look at her income, then she may be able to use a lot more of those medical expenses as deductions. Because let's say he makes 70 and she makes 30. Well, 10% of $100,000 combined, the first $10,000 not deductible. you know, 10% of 30,000, the first 3,000 is not deductible on her return. So
but
the rest of it would be. So a lot more potential deduction is available. But you've got to look at it from all sources, all views. And like I mentioned to Don, do the return as a joint filer. Do the returns as married filing separately. And add up the tax liability from the two separate returns, compared to the tax liability on the joint return. See which way is better. You don't have to, you know, choose at the beginning of the year that I'm going to do it this way. You don't have to tell the IRS. You can go back and forth from year to year. There's no issue with filing separately this year, filing jointly next year, or whatever. And you don't have to notify them ahead. So it's not something that you have to choose ahead of time. You choose it when you file your return. And so whichever one works best, that's the one you deal with. Now, if he does file as a joint filer, he does increase the limits dramatically on who can contribute to an IRA, because he's phased out from 0 to 10 right now.
But now it goes from...
Well, for a Roth IRA, it goes all the way to 183,000. Yeah. And for him, the non-covered spouse, the non-participant spouse, as long as the adjusted gross income is under 183,000, he could do a deductible traditional IRA if they file a joint return. And so that deduction may be better than trying to get the medical expense deduction.
So you got to run it both ways.
You got to run it every which way from, you know, from Sunday.
Yeah. Now I should point out too, for those that don't know, when you do a Roth conversion, what was holding Don up from doing what we were thinking he could do on this Roth two-step is the fact that when you convert traditional IRA money, I'm sorry, when you convert IRA money into a Roth, you convert and you have pre-tax money and post-tax money in those IRAs. When you do a conversion, it's a pro rata conversion, correct?
Right. So let's say that he said he had $80,000 in an IRA. He makes a $6,500 IRA contribution. So now his IRA is worth $86,500. But only $6,500 of it is after-tax money. So any money that's withdrawn or converted, any money that leaves the traditional IRA status and goes to Roth or just to him personally on a distribution, is going to carry that same percentage. That percentage is 8%. 8% of the $86,500 is after-tax money. So in a distribution for that year, 8% of whatever's distributed is going to be after-tax, and the other 92% of it's going to be taxable. So it's a very taxing experience to do it that way.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Now, as you said, he could take his IRAs, $80,000, pay taxes on them, and then
that's
get,
not going to work either. And that's a nightmare in its own way.
Well, it is, because now all of a sudden you're going to add $80,000 to your income, and that could be even worse.
His best bet is probably, and so this is where it opens up. If he has the ability to deduct the traditional IRA contribution when they file as a married, filing a joint return versus separately, that $6,500 deduction may make up for a lot of the fact that he can't deduct a lot of the medical expenses on the separate return.
Right. So if you're thinking of doing married filing separate, married filing joint, and you're thinking maybe that the married filing separate is better, understand that there are a whole lot different limits for married filing separately for the reasons that Professor Plum said, which has to do with the fact that, hey, we're not going to let you know, take a larger standard deduction. Okay, I want to get to a couple of emails here. 877-PLANNER. Lines are open right now. If you have questions, get them in before the top of the hour. Ken in Dallas, Texas. I'm 67 and retired, married, and our income is $105,000 from pensions and my wife's Social Security. I will take my Social Security at age 70. If I withdraw all of my SEP IRA funds, about $120,000, how will they be taxed?
The term is heavily. It's not going to be pretty. You're in the 25% income tax bracket already. And then when you throw Social Security, you're more Social Security in there. It's taking up even more of the 25% bracket. So this $120,000 is going to be taxed partly in the 25% bracket, and partly a good chunk 28. Of it's going to be in the 28% income tax bracket. Now, you do live in Texas, so you don't have a state income tax, but figure on average you're going to pay 27% on this $120,000. Will it ever be less? yeah, you could probably get it out for 25 if you stage it out right. But not 28. So I would probably look at doing a smaller portion of the IRA rather than 100% of it. I do smaller portions of either distributions or conversions. At least now, you didn't say how old you were. Oh, 67.
67.
You got a couple of years before the Social Security kicks in. So right now you have more room in the 25% tax bracket than you will later. But you're going to pay 25 now, 25 later. It depends on what other IRAs maybe your spouse has, what other 401ks. Because reality is, at this level, the $120,000, the required minimum distribution, it's not going to throw you into the 28% bracket. So whether you do it or don't do it, you know, I would not do all of it, definitely, because that's going to throw me in a higher bracket. Would I do some? Sure, I'd do some. Try to get it over to a Roth IRA. It's more for your spouse than for you, because it'll help her if you die before her, so that she will have more tax-free money, because depending on how much of the pensions continue, she won't be in a 25% bracket. She will, as a survivor, or you as a survivor, will be in a higher than 25% bracket. Now, so I would use up the 25% bracket, whatever I can do, for the next, especially the next 3 years between now and when Social Security kicks in.
How much room do they have at 105,000? They got about 40 some odd thousand, 50,000?
I don't know how much their deductions are.
Oh, that's true. Okay. All right. Well,
they may have $60,000 worth of room.
Which would help, you know, do it over a couple of years if your intent is to get it into a Roth. And as you said, Professor Plum, the Roth would certainly help his wife.
The survivor,
or the
yes.
The survivor. Let's whoever it happens.
Either one of them.
Right. 877-PLANNER. Lines open. Call now with your money questions. 877-752-6637. We'll tell you where the brain trust is hanging out. Got some trivia for you. Emails and calls when we come back. I was waiting for this. All right, you Rick roll me, and
bring
you know, now you Rod roll me. I'll take this one. There you go. Just got it in under the wire today, man. I'll tell you what. Perfect.
Friday, we have to have it.
Absolutely. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, rocking the tunes with you and answering your money questions and doing a darn good job of it. May I say that? Proud of the strategy we've done today. And by the way, speaking of strategies, there's going to be more of those in person for you. If you can't get enough of us, and who can, you can go meet the Brain Trust in person, get your money questions answered, and learn all about retirement income strategies. The Lucia Capital Group Retirement Income Strategies workshops going on starting in just a couple of weeks. Saturday, February 20th. What is that? That's like 2 weeks from tomorrow. Saturday, February 20th, Las Vegas, Nevada. Join the Brain Trust there and get your questions answered and have some fun in Las Vegas. You go to wealtheds.com, our website, WEALTH, wealtheds.com. Sign up. It is all free, of course. After Las Vegas, they'll be in Seattle on February 27th, and then on Saturday, March 12th, Phoenix, Arizona. A lot of the same advice that you hear on this show, and a whole lot more detail, which is what you need when you show up in person. So, Las Vegas, Seattle, Phoenix. There will be more after that. After those three, check wealtheds.com. Find out where we're going to be. And if we're not within 500 miles of you, where you are, just write to us and say, hey, come on by, and we'll see if we can put you on the list. Can't promise it. I almost did.
No,
I won't.
Don't do that.
I won't. No.
there are no guarantees in life.
Well, but you know what? Honolulu or Maui or somewhere, you know, if they say, why aren't you coming out here? Hey, you know, might be worth a shot. All right, 877-PLANNER, our number, and emails at wealtheds.com. Want to get this trivia here. This came from, once again, the IRS. They sent me a whole bunch of stuff earlier in the week, and they demanded that I read it. So if I read it late, there's a 10% penalty. Taxpayers that reported at least $1 million of adjusted gross income in tax year 2013 paid 24% of all federal income tax that year, at an effective tax rate of 31%. Okay, now, we say effective tax rate of 31%. What does that mean?
Well, our tax brackets are just what they say. They're bracketed. So we have a portion of our money that doesn't get taxed at all because of, you know, write-offs, deductions, exemptions. A portion at 10%. And then another block at 15, 25, 28, and then on up the way. So even somebody who's making $1 million, not all, and that is definitely in the 39.6% federal income tax bracket. Not all of the money are you being taxed at 39.6. Only the income over roughly $420,000 of taxable income is at 39.6. The money below that, still, the first $18,000 gets a 10% bracket. The next $53,000, $57,000 gets a 15% bracket. Another, and so there are still lower brackets. So what they do is they calculate the tax on each of the brackets, add it all up to create your tax liability. Well, by definition, that means that it's on an average bracket going to be lower than 39.6, because some's at 10, some's at 15, 25, 28, 33, and on up. So average, they're looking at 31%. Now, what I am not sure what they're looking at is that based on the taxable income that their average bracket is 31, or is it on the gross income, which is before all deductions and exemptions, that it's 31% average?
Yeah, that I don't know, and I'm thinking it is.
But either way, the point they're trying to get across is that the, you know, to make $1 million, you're well into the 0.5%, 0.3% of all taxpayers. It only takes about $385,000 to be in the top 1%.
Right.
So there's a lot of room in that top 1% that are not making $1 million or more. So the top million, the people that make $1 million or more, is a fairly small number. I can't remember if it's 420,000 people with $1 million or more, or 42,000, but they pay 24% of the entire taxpayer liability for all taxpayers, individual taxpayers. That doesn't include corporations and other
sources. Yeah, which you might expect. Now, when you mention brackets, there is also, for people who take the standard deduction and personal exemptions, I mean, there's also, in effect, there's kind of a 0% tax bracket too, right?
There is, but I don't know if they're using a taxable income.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Not for this necessarily,
right.
but for many people.
And a lot of wealthy people, now, you would think, well, a lot of wealthy people have a lot of write-offs, and so they're reduced. They have a big chunk of money they don't pay tax on at all.
Yes.
But also remember that as your adjusted gross income goes up over certain thresholds, you start losing the ability to deduct money off of your Schedule A. I may have $150,000. I don't, but I'm saying this person may have $150,000 of itemized deductions, but at $1 million, they're not allowed to take the entire itemized deductions. They're being limited on how much they can take on their itemized deductions. The further up the scale, the more deductions you can't take. It's phased out. So they're losing. So it's an effective increase in bracket creep on that aspect too, because
right.
less money's in the zero.
Right. So a deduction is the same thing as what?
It's a reduction.
It's a reduction in the amount of tax that you're going to have to pay. So if you take away that deduction,
it's an increase in the tax you're going to pay.
The effective tax that you're going to pay.
Yep.
Exactly. When you're up around $1 million a year, I mean, how many write-offs do you have left? Personally,
well,
I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you figure you probably have at least two houses. You
know? Okay. All right. I suppose.
So
that's
you've
true.
Got home mortgage interest of $1 million. So you've got maybe $40,000 of mortgage interest. You may be charitably inclined. Maybe you've given $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to charities. You've got property taxes, probably up the wazoo. So you've got a lot of property tax. If you live in a state that has a state income tax, there's a state income tax deduction. Otherwise, there's a sales tax deduction. So, you know, medical, probably not getting any medical expenses, you know, because 10%, your medical expenses would have to exceed.
$100,000 of medical expenses. I mean, these
$100,000 of medical expenses, not deductible for that person that makes $1 million. Because 10% is
that's
not.
That's what I'm saying.
You'd have to be
so
over.
If you have $150,000, you could, you know.
Potentially, yeah, but that's only if you make right at $1 million.
And by the way, one last thing, not to jump around. You mentioned that it's 10%. If you're 65 or older.
Right now, the threshold for medical expense deduction is 7.5%.
But that's going to change, I believe.
It's either next year or 2018 that it goes to 10% for everybody. The Affordable Care
Act. It used to be 7.5% for everybody.
Right, but the Affordable Care Act raised it to 10% for everybody under age 65, and then they're phasing in the senior citizens 65 and older. I want to say 2017, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah, so if you happen to catch that earlier when we were talking to, I think it was Don, talking about the medical expenses being 10%, again, because he was, how old was, I don't remember how old he was. Anyway, his was 10%. If you are 65 or older and it's 7.5%, that is going to change, as you said, what, next couple of years.
Either 17 or 18, I can't remember which one.
Yes, so there you go. Nothing like taxes. We're out of time. If you need to know more about taxes or retirement or anything else that we talk about on this program and you want to talk to Professor Plum off the air or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, their phone lines are open, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Talk to any of the Brain Trust advisors about your retirement plan. For Professor Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. In the information presented, that the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.